of a pool of light. People who surround and feel the benefit of it, it makes you count. She'll hold you captivated in a pound. Suddenly I see.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told. I'm Leslie Bother, your host, and of course you're listening to KRFC Fort Collins. Just a couple of minutes after the 6 o'clock hour here in the Fort Collins, Colorado area. Last night, many of us were out watching the annual eclipse, the partial solar eclipse that was happening. Very spiritual significance to that. And I don't know. So I think the goddess is kind of watching over me here, because I booked our guest many, many months ago without even understanding what was going on in this year of 2012, this alignment that we're in, this global consciousness, this humanity's final phase of awakening, if you will, as our guest says. And we had the eclipse last night. I've got this great spiritual goddess guest on tonight. And she just reminded me that I interviewed her many, many years ago, I guess. And here she's back. She's back. And of course, she's back on the Holy Hormones, Honey show. And she's going for the big time being on this show. I hope you're chuckling out there, Charlene. Anyway, Reverend Dr. Charlene M. Proctor is our guest tonight. She is an author, minister, blessing giver, and empowerment coach, an ordained minister of spiritual peacemaking, and a Diksha facilitator trained by the Oneness Guides from Fiji and India. She is the best-selling author of Let Your Goddess Grow, Seven Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking, and The Woman's Book of Empowerment, 323 Affirmations That Change Everyday Problems into Moments of Potential. It's her Midwestern sensibility and spiritual approach to self-empowerment that has helped thousands awaken to their divine magnificent within. She has just published another book called The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. And that is what we are going to be speaking about tonight, right here on Holy Hormones, Honey, the greatest story never told. Before we get into our interview this evening, glad you're with us, by the way. I know that my listening audience is growing by leaps and bounds, and appreciate that very much. I hope you feel that there are some very important messages coming out of this Hormone Studio here at KRC on Monday nights. Cecilia's here. Tekken, nice to have you here, too.
Thank you.
So, all right, hormone news. One piece of health-related news, and then I'm going to talk about the spiritual significance of that eclipse last night, because a lot of us are in conflict in our lives. In fact, I received an email late last week about talking about this eclipse, and it's saying that this is a very intense time that can bring breakage, conflict, change, and potent fuel for your dreams and bids for power. Some of you may already be experiencing or witnessing increased accident activity. And I sprained my ankle last Tuesday. I did. It was like, okay, short tempers and things feeling a bit out of sync. This is highly charged solar energy, and you can infuse your commitment with this solar energy, which represents the masculine. The quality is fiery and explosive and will be fueled by the winds of change. So use it well. So, yeah, we've got this show coming up on spirituality, the Christ consciousness, and then next week's show, also right before the Gemini full moon eclipse, lunar eclipse, we're going to have another spiritual show on alignment. So
A time to flow.
Absolutely. Anyway, health news, hormone news. Let's get down to it, people. And I'm reading this, even when I want to stay on the spiritual realm, because Cure Guide came out with this week. Commercial sunscreens are a danger to your health. And I just felt that as we were going into this very, very hot summer already, people are slapping on sunscreen and you need to know what it's doing. A recent study has shown that a potent sunscreen ingredient, oxybenzone, may be a cause of endometriosis. This condition occurs when uterine tissue grows in abnormal sites in the abdomen and causes severe pain. Women are usually diagnosed because of severe cramping during their periods. In the study of 600 women, those with the highest levels of a form of oxybenzone in their urine had a 65% increased risk of endometriosis. Oxybenzone, like bisphenol A, BPA, is a chemical that mimics estrogen and endometriosis growth. is fed by estrogen. The study should be another warning sign that oxybenzone should not be put on the skin. The highest levels of oxybenzone in the urine of women in the study occurred in the months of July and August, proof that sunscreen ingredient is readily absorbed into the bloodstream. Exposure to sunlight promotes good health. The more sun exposure we get, the better our bodies function. Preventing sunburn, though, during the hottest part of the day is a good idea. We know that sunburn damages the skin, but with all of the evidence that sunlight is beneficial in the prevention of cancer and heart disease, maintaining a strong immune system and building bones, no one should be using sunscreens on a routine or a daily basis. The study provides further evidence that commercial sunscreens that contain cancer-causing and estrogenic chemicals should never be used. The only safe sunscreen out there, and remember that, is zinc oxide, and that is the only proven safe sunscreen ingredient. So make sure you read your labels carefully. And that study came out of UV filters in U.S. women and their association with endometriosis, and it was published March 29th of this year. Okay, so what was that eclipse all about last night in this big realm of 2012, in this big realm of alignment, in this period of growth and conflict that many of us are feeling? I mean, I look at the circles in my life of women that I love and who are dear to my heart, and many of them are in conflict. I have been in conflict with them. And it's... whew, it's straining, and it's hard, but we need to keep in mind that this is a period of conscious growth, and sometimes it's just really hard to get others to carry along with you on this. So this is from the International Metaphysical University, the Great Pleiadian Eclipse Alignment. On May 20th, last night, for the first time in 26,000 years, the sun and moon and the constellation responsible for our spiritual evolution and ascension, the mystic Pleiades, will align in a spectacular, and did align in a spectacular full annular solar eclipse, and a rare solar eclipse alignment will happen between the Earth, the sun, and our central sun, Alcyone, in the Pleiades constellation. And we've all read, we've seen pictures, they were posted all over Facebook and the internet, how beautiful that ring of fire looked when the moon, smaller than the sun, actually passed right over the sun. It was the first central eclipse of the 21st century and also the first annular eclipse since the solar eclipse of May 10th, 1994. And the next annular eclipse is not supposed to happen until, I've read two different reports. Someone said 2023, then I read 2020, so I'm not quite sure there, but it's a ways off. So here's the deal. The pyramid outside, the pyramid of the sun outside Mexico City is said to be aligned with the Pleiades for its west face, and many of the surrounding streets were aligned directly with the setting point of the Pleiades on midnight of the night when it is at its highest point. The Pleiades were clearly revered also by the Mayans, who in the area of Chichen Itza knew that the sun cast a snake-like shadow on the side of the north stairway of the Kukulcan pyramid during the spring equinox. Some scholars have calculated that about 60 days after the shadow's appearance, when the sun reaches its zenith over the pyramid at midday, May 20th to May 23rd, there is another direct alignment with the Pleiades. This Pleiades sun alignment may have a greater direct connection with Quetzalcoatl, I hope I said that right, the feathered serpent that came to bring a greater wisdom to the planet. Here's the history. The ancient Egyptians also singled out the Pleiades as a female goddess, probably most often recognized as Neith, the divine mother, or Hathor, who took on the form of a cow who carried the seeds of life. Pyramidologists working in Egypt in the last 12 years have found pyramid texts that suggested the Egyptians revered the Pleiades as a higher divine star system, especially Alcyone, its brightest star. The Pleiades are a well-known sight in the northern hemisphere in winter and in the southern hemisphere in summer, and have been known since ancient times to cultures all around the world. Early Dakota stories speak of the ancestors as being the Pleiades. The Hopis called the Pleiades the Chukukan, meaning those who cling together. They considered themselves direct descendants of the Pleiadians. Navajos named the Pleiadians the sparkling suns, home of the black god. The Iroquois prayed to them for happiness. The Cree claimed to have come to earth from the stars in spirit form first and then became flesh and blood. Some Native Americans believe that all tribes in North America came from the Pleiades. They were actually the descendants and had been given a task by the Pleiadians to keep the earth safe. And that is the rest of the story about that grand eclipse that happened last night. Okay, back to business, back to our guest, Reverend Charlene M. Proctor. Dr. Proctor is right here, ready to join us to talk about her book, The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. And she also recognizes that this is humanity's final phase of awakening, and it is a rekindling of oneness. Dr. Proctor, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I know that you're a busy woman, so let's really, really get down to it. Mm-hmm. This is a grand time that we're in, yet it is still bringing conflict. And I'm getting a little bit of a
feedback
there.
There's a little bit of feedback, yeah, if she has the radio on in the background, if she could turn it down.
I do not have the radio on.
All right.
I'm on a landline.
Well, then we're echoing off of the universe here. Anyway, how did you get started on your journey, and now you've come to share with us this great book?
Well, I've been writing spiritual and self-help books for many years. Taught a lot of people, a lot of women, about empowerment and positive thinking and a little bit about how to manifest the reality. And I got more interested in these oneness teachings that were coming over from Fiji and India. And so I was very interested in their perspective about Western suffering and the whole concept of enlightenment, or awakening rather, as we heard you mention earlier. And the whole idea of the blessing, which is kind of an energetic transfer that helps a person in many different levels, with their awakening certainly, but mostly with releasing of suffering. So that's kind of how I stumbled into this topic, and I spent a couple of years training and working with the oneness guides. At the time, they were called the Dasas, or the monks. And the material is very, very interesting in a sense where it's very congruent with the New Testament teachings. And especially today, when we are living in such a time of polarity, we're so obsessed with separation and concentrating on our differences. And anything that's a unity message right now that draws similarities between our different wisdom traditions, I think, is an important message for folks. And so that's kind of where the book began in my heart.
Now, this is an amazing journey for a woman from the Midwest coming all the way to become a national, an international figure, and founding the Goddess Network. Where in the Midwest did you come from?
Well, I grew up in the greater Chicago area.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Lots of goddesses come from Chicago.
Can you hear the nasality in the
yeah,
thing?
Yeah. Well, I could talk Jersey talk, and we'll do just fine then.
Yeah. But, we tend to be fairly grounded, most of us. It's kind of part of our culture out here. And I think that, we certainly have our own traditions, but we have a more practical way of looking at the world, and one of the things I think is important for people who are students of spirituality or seeking personal transformation or some sort of evolution is to just remain grounded and know that we can learn all of these things and we can experience these mystical things and become closer to the divine presence and really start to employ these truths and teaching in our everyday lives. We don't need to go be some monk and climb the mountain and live in some cave in Tibet and meditate all day long, We can apply these ideas to our relationships and in all of the challenges that we encounter and certainly the conflicts that we have. And believe me, the past few days, I don't know what's going on, but there's something being stirred up in my life.
I'll tell you what.
I try so hard to be a participant observer, probably like you, but I see all of this conflict going, and I'm thinking, well, I heard a little bit about the eclipse that you talked about, and hoping that it's just one more way that God is telling us that we're time to reach higher and higher levels of conscious awareness and practice all of our good ideas like forgiveness and growth and so forth, and help all of us individually. We help each other by making individual transformation, because that's how we raise our vibration. All of it begins with the individual, and until we're willing to take a look inside and to do that personal and spiritual work, it's very difficult to uplift human consciousness as a whole. So, you know, all those little hymns you sing in the church, that, what's that one called? Peace Begins With Me. What is that one that is sung? Peace Begins With Me. And I'm thinking, you know, we need to remember that for whatever type of change or evolution, we have to look at ourselves first, and the change starts there first. So that's part of our... it's part of the consciousness raising, I think, that's going on today, as people are more willing to look internally and elevate themselves as individuals and then begin to reach out. And hopefully it's like a big domino effect. We hope so.
I hope so, because it's really hard to be dragging a lot of people along with you, you know, and that is, and not that I'm saying I'm a very enlightened person, but I try and stay on some sort of integral path. We're all human. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. That's my new line.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been a difficult time, and I'm glad that you have acknowledged that as well. And I realize there's only so much that we can do before we just, you know, walk away and just say, and peace be with you, and God is blessed, and just try and continue on. But
well, we have to remember too that we're conscious co-creators, you know, with the presence, and really that just means working in conjunction with the divine. And when we recognize that, we really can learn to create a new reality, because it is a partnership. I mean, we are part of something much, much bigger. And I think that part of our issue, especially in the West, is our belief in separation. And we don't recognize oneness or the unity that binds us. It's virtually impossible to be outside everything that is. It's a concept that I could never wrap my head around, even as a kid, because you can never be separate from the presence. There's no such thing. I mean, where would you be? You wouldn't. It's virtually impossible. So I think that part of people's growth overall and part of the change that's going on is they're beginning to understand that there's this fundamental unity that binds everybody, and to stop focusing so much on our differences and our different philosophies or wisdom traditions or the way we do things, the way we speak, and recognize that there is this one thing, this unity, this divinity that is residing in each of us. We are all individualized sparks of divine creation. And that's really, I think, the oneness movement and part of the consciousness raising that's going on, is that people are able to accept that and say, wow, you know, I have so much more potential than I thought I had. And I can really do something with this. I can serve an idea. I can serve another human being. And I think that's very exciting.
It is. It's certainly very powerful and empowering to have that sense. Very hard when a lot of people are running 65 miles an hour in their lives 24/7, 365, and don't take time, or cannot take time, because their mental state is just on fire and just going all the time.
Well, that's what they say, the dasas, or the monks in India. They refer to the mind as being a pack of chattering monkeys. And when you think of it, it's a really good idea. You know, when your mind is jumping from one thing to the next, or we're even nursing that, I think, with our culture, especially with our technology. And I know text messaging has probably been a lifesaver for a lot of people, and it seems very convenient. But what's happening is it's totally taking away the concept of present moment awareness. People can't be fully present for other people anymore, and it drives me up a wall, let me tell you. If there's one pet peeve I have, it's trying to sit and be fully present with somebody, and they're thinking they're having a conversation with you, and they're answering their text messages at the same time.
I understand that. What is that all about?
I just cannot wrap my head around that, and it really, I look at it, and I have to laugh in some ways, because we're becoming a slave to doing, and trying to be everywhere present. But you can never be everywhere. You have to be full with what is in front of you at any given moment, because that is where joy really resides. That is where a full and robust life experience resides, is when we have present moment awareness. And it's a total disease of Western culture. Well, I would even extend that.
Well, that one you have to extend.
It's let's extend that to everybody on the planet right now.
All right. It's 21 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock here at the KRC studio. And, of course, you're listening to KRC 4 Collins. This is Holy Hormones, Honey, the Greatest Story Never Told. I'm Leslie Botha, your host. We have the Reverend Dr. Charlene M. Proctor, our guest this evening, author, minister, blessing giver, and empowerment coach. And we were going to be diving into her book, The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. We've kind of been laying the groundwork for that. Charlene, one last question for you before we get into the book, and that is, you have on your media kit, why the West is suffering, the real reason why people suffer, practical things we can do to end suffering and shift our perspective to joy. Ooh, we need that shift. The last night was part of that shift. But people need to understand what's going on with it.
Well, as I said, one of the diseases I think in Western culture is this lack of present moment awareness. Some of that's just from living on old programming. It's our conditioning. It's we choose to manage our suffering rather than fully feeling the present moment, where the pain is, if there is any pain, and just embrace it. The East is teaching, in the India East, that's what I mean, because that's where I took my teaching.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't New York.
Yeah. Now it's New Jersey.
Yeah, no.
They're teaching us that we in the West are experts at suffering management. You know, we have pain, and we'll stuff it, we'll go to therapy, we'll eat, drink, complain. We'll get mad at our families, we'll run away, we'll watch TV, shop more, look for love in all the wrong places, all those things, rather than facing our suffering head on and allowing it to fill us and feel it and stay with it until the pain or old emotional charges, which are just the residual of old suffering, passes. And so what we're doing is that we think the way to deal with this is just to contain it and manage it, and that is not, as I said, the key to living in joy and fully experiencing life. So the first step, I think, in a personal or spiritual journey is to understand what your suffering is. And the thing that drives people in droves to spiritual programs is really, over the years, I've seen two things. One is, oh, I'm suffering and I can't seem to move through it. Which is a big piece for people, and the other piece for people is, well, I really want to manifest my own reality, and how do I create something in my life that I really want? But we can't just skip over those steps. There's a lot of discipline and a lot of internal cleaning that has to go on when we take a look at ourselves. And you know, I've talked a lot of years about old programming and old conditioning and how we filter life through old programming. And I think part of the thing that is the change in consciousness right now is that so many people are seeking to sever this unconscious connection they have from the past and attempting to move more into a present-day reality. So part of the uplifting, I think, of the consciousness movement is that people are recognizing, oh, well, I have all these old emotional patterns. You know, I've inherited this from my family, or messages, you know, my parents or whatever told me I couldn't do this or wasn't good enough. And people are understanding that when they're reacting to current-day situations from past behaviors, that they can't really live life. These old dramas and stories and traumas, they're all things that hold us back and put us on autopilot. So the awakening or the enlightenment, and a lot of people think that, oh, my gosh, we're just going to get up one day and all these lights are going to go off and the angels are going to come down and we're going to all be uplifted and have this miracle music happening. When
Wait, you mean that's not going to happen? Wait, hold on a minute.
Hey, not in my sector in the Midwest. but what it is it's an awakening in an awareness of, of just life and a willingness to let go and to examine ourselves and examine our past and to choose to just live in the present. And I know that doesn't sound like the movie version of what enlightenment is, but enlightenment is just waking up. That's what it is. It's a higher level of awareness. It's living life at a higher level of awareness. And maybe some people don't want to see the simplicity of that. You know, they're all caught up in this big, long road of the seeking. You know, they're seeking this enlightenment. Well, enlightenment, the East teaches us, is not the end of the road. It's like shifting from living from the mind and instead of that, thinking from the heart. And you're disengaging from the mind. You're thinking less, and you're divorcing yourself from old habits and assumptions and all this stuff you've been living life through, these masks you've constructed in order to survive, and you're learning to let those go. And, it sounds so easy, but oh, my gosh. I mean, today for me, with the amount of conflict that I have been exposed to the past 3 or 4 days, I don't know what clips did,
really?
But I feel like everything just got all stirred up because even people like me who write spiritual books and teach, I mean, we are exposed to all the challenges, like just like everybody else.
I'm so glad to hear you say that because I was thinking today, I was like,
I
really can't be really that enlightened if I'm really still dealing with this crap in my life.
There was a whole lot dumped on my platter the last few days and some stuff that's very painful. Oof. But this is the interesting thing. This is the beauty of the process of life. Is that this is what we're here to learn. We're here to apply all of these ideas and not check out and say, oh, okay, we can all write these grand books about being awakened and managing, you know, learning not to manage our suffering and living a life of joy. And then when I get served up a big chunk of it, like I have the last week, you know, all bets are off. Well, it's the time where we still need to imagine our own divinity and associate ourselves with the universal self or the God self and fill ourselves with it so completely that we know we are not alone. We have to see these challenges and deal with people as if we were looking at them through God's eyes. And I've got to tell you, the last couple of days, it has been really hard.
Oh, my heavens.
Really hard for me.
Well, if it's now hard for two out of two of us, yeah.
You know, you have to practice it. I mean, it's part of the process. It's our earth process.
It is our earth process, spiritual beings having a human experience. Mm-hmm. You say here that spirituality is how much joy you have in your life. How can we live a life of joy?
Well, let's see. 5 easy tips.
Yep.
Well, we have to make room for it, first of all. That's what I just got done talking about, is that if we don't make room for joy, we have to learn to move through our junk. You know, that's part of the healing process. You know, if we miss somebody or we lost a job or we lost a relationship, you know, a special connection with somebody, we have to give ourselves permission to talk about that and to acknowledge it. We have to acknowledge the difficult stuff. That's about giving yourself permission to move forward and to make room there for joy first. The other is learning to live in the present. You know, if we're spending all of our time dredging up fear and self-doubt or regret or worries, old emotions, we're just living in the past. So how can we experience joy in a joyful reality and improve our current situations if we're not accepting what is in front of us and really appreciating what we have? So, you know, especially the last couple of days when I've had a lot of self-doubt and worries over broken relationships and so forth, I try to shift my energy back to gratitude and replace all of those old emotions with those energies of love. That is one way we anchor ourselves in the here and now and to live a life of joy.
So, in other words, I mean, we should be getting up and blessing each day instead of groaning about getting out of bed and starting the day.
And the harder piece of that is blessing the people who are giving us the grief.
We have to.
I mean, we
obviously they're in our life for some reason.
They're actually, and here was my theory as of this morning, is they are reflecting something very important back to us about ourselves. Oh, and boy, we don't want to hear that. Oh, especially for the people who drive us crazy or who have hurt us very, very deeply. We don't want to acknowledge that we are actually seeing something about ourselves in this relationship that needs to be shifted, adjusted, learned from. And that's the hard piece. I mean, and we can wallow in our self-pity and beat ourselves up about it plenty. Believe me, you know, I did that. But at some point, you have to just accept and forgive, forgive yourself, forgive them, and thank God for this experience because it was a learning situation, and stop clinging. And believe me, it is much harder to say than to do because I am in it right now with everybody else.
But I'm so glad to hear you say that. Because
it
means
hard.
I mean, you're not this goddess up on a pedestal, and you are still having the same human experience that the rest of us have, and I think that even makes you more endearing on the show, and makes your message even more real.
Well, it's like I said, it's there's challenges with everything and everybody, and you know, sometimes in life we get to a fork in a road, and it's like jumping off. Oh, and this is one of the big lessons, I think, for me. Maybe all this eclipse started it. I don't know. But to just know that when you step off of that plateau, you don't really know what's underneath to catch you on the way down. But you have to trust that whatever it is going to be better than what you had before. That is living in conjunction with the divine presence. That is conscious co-creation of a joyful life because you accept and you know that there is support there for you no matter what. And we want to control the process so much. Oh, yes, we all sit around and we talk about living in the flow and you know, all of this stuff. But in fact, when it's presented in front of us as a real spiritual lesson, as a challenge in the form of, say, a broken relationship or a lost job or whatever it is that it comes on your way that's less than optimal, we don't want to take the step. We want to have that backup plan, and boy, do we want to know what that backup plan is before we take that step. And it doesn't work like that. You know, it's your faith in the process of life. And that keeps you moving forward. And it's very humbling to me, very, very humbling to experience it with everybody else. And, you know, at certain times in our life, we get bigger doses than others. And we're meant to look at these pieces carefully and evaluate them, learn from them, and just bless the situation and say thank you, fill yourself with gratitude, and you have to move forward. There's no other way.
Well, it is the new moon, and it is time to be moving forward. You're listening to Holy Hormones, Honey, The Greatest Story Never Told. I'm Leslie Bothy, your host. My guest this evening, the very endearing Reverend Dr. Charlene M. Proctor. We're having a great conversation and just reflecting and trying to understand what this is that we're going through collectively. Am I there? Charlene, can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly.
Oh, okay. And so we need to figure out what we're doing here collectively. And you know, what's the most fascinating thing to me is that we are not that, you know, when I hear that you're going through things, I'm going through things, my sister's going through things, I'm going through things with other people in my life. And you really begin to understand this whole oneness concept.
Well, to me, Oneness, yeah, you could say it's a movement. It's a spiritual movement, just like unity or any of these other things that attempt to find the congruence between the wisdom traditions or the truth that underlies all truths. But really, simply, oneness is just being completely aware of God within yourself. That's all it is. Oneness is being completely aware of God within yourself. And the more that we identify with that idea, and we see ourselves as a reflection of spirit, we're going to be so much more empowered and so much more filled with a higher level vibration that will help us overcome these challenges. And, oh, boy, it is so much easier to just wallow in the negativity. It seems sometimes to be easier energy. If it were so easy, you know, to pull up ourselves and raise our vibration so that we can raise other people, then everybody would be doing it.
Well, and here's the deal, and we've talked about this before on my show. I mean, it's a combination of environmental factors, lack of proper nutrition, overdosing on medications, and the brain is not getting enough of the nutrients it really needs to be able to kickstart itself to get into that state. And a lot of people suffer from that. So I've been really trying to focus on that as well now as the spiritual aspect is what is going on.
Well, that's our whole attitude lately, and it's a beautiful shift to see, really, is the people are recognizing the body-mind-spirit connection. Well, we can have a proper mind and not have a chattering monkey mind and be aware of what the mind is. We can have a spiritual perspective on life and practice all of our truths and apply them to everyday life. But yeah, if you're not taking care of the temple, the body, which houses the spirit, then you're kind of putting yourself at a little disadvantage. I mean, that your attention span is going to go down, you won't feel good, you won't have the patience you need to look at things clearer. And that's a wonderful shift right now that's going on. I mean, 20 years ago, how many body, mind, spirit centers did you see? How many holistic living centers did you see? I mean, how many gluten-free pantry items, you know, did you have in your kitchen?
Exactly.
There's a whole movement that I've seen in my own life that is redesigning the way that we live and relate to ourselves and each other. And it's really wonderful. And I think that what you said is also part of this enlightenment or this awakening process, is that we are just beginning to see that we're kind of a whole package. It's not all about science and it's not all about art. There's a special space in there for us to think and of course, me being practical, yeah, I mean, you need to eat your wheatgrass and and all the necessary foods that you have. I mean, I could never do what I do if I didn't take care of my body the proper way and be aware. So I think the work that you're doing is very exciting, educating people, and we're shedding things. I mean, isn't that part of what an eclipse is too?
And oh, there's a point.
Awakening is we're shedding old thoughts, we're shedding our dramas. We're shedding the things we put into our body that aren't necessary anymore, and it's a really interesting time.
It is very interesting time. Lots to go over, but let's give you're kind of enticing everybody here. Where do we find you? I know you're at charleneproctor.com, but this oneness gospel that we've been hitting on all evening in different areas. Where do we find information on that? Because you also give a blessing away with that. When you purchased the book, I thought that was great.
The book is actually been blessed by Bhagwan in India. It's an interesting story. When I went out there, I took the manuscript with me. And this guy, who's a spiritual icon over in India and does a lot of work with people, and he's a very, very interesting and a spiritual leader. And when he gives a blessing, like 30,000 people show up, and so they don't really do it like that anymore. He's a very wonderful teacher. And so I went out there to Oneness University, which is in like the poorest section of India, to learn and to visit and participate in these processes. I brought the manuscript with me, and the chances of actually seeing or meeting him were probably slim to none. I mean, we were told that there would be no way that that would happen. But one thing led to another. In the Oneness Guide that we had met with there, the U.S. contingency, there were, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 of us, were invited to have a sit with him. And they actually took, Doug Bentley took the manuscript and gave it to Bhagwan, who did in fact bless it. And I believe that the blessing, or any time anybody has a powerful energy of intention, and whatever it would be for your success or your prosperity or to attract more love in your life, whatever that is, all of that goes into whatever you put it in. That's like looking at a piece of art on the wall and seeing the thing that the artist saw. And the artist is really just downloading from the matrix. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
The art doesn't come from the artist. They're just a clear channel for it. And that's what really good writers do. They don't let themselves get in the way. Yeah, there's all the processes and the agony and the ecstasy of good writing and editing and so forth. Those are just all the earth rules. But the intention behind it is something very, very special. And there's an energy that's in this book that I think is very unique, and it lives between the lines of these teachings. And I know that when people read it, and we've had some amazing commentary already about just the feel-good factor of what's in this book and how much it's helped them. So if people want to learn more about the Oneness Gospel, they should go to my website, which is charleneproctor.com, or theonenessgospel.com, or you could Google my name, Charlene Proctor, or the Oneness Gospel, and of course there'll be plenty.
And it'll all
you'll,
come up.
You have no trouble finding me. But the book's available everywhere. We released it 2 weeks ago, and 2 days ago it hit number one on Kindle. Can you believe that?
that's amazing.
Just, it is amazing, and it's just, it's an important message, and there's a lot of good energy in this book. And you could pick it up and just pick a page and read something I think that would apply to whatever it is that you need to hear that day. So I do encourage people to read it and write to us and tell us how much they enjoyed the book. And we would love to hear from people.
And that's really fantastic. Number one on Kindle. I mean, what a coup.
I
mean, absolutely. That usually happens after you're on my radio show. I'm really impressed that it happened before.
Yeah, we released the book a couple weeks ago, and I think we hit, we hit number 16 in our category, which
wow.
is pretty darn good. Yeah.
Well, it shows you that a lot of people are looking and wanting to seek this Christ consciousness and in this divine human. And we only have about 16 minutes left. Do we have time to go over the 12 principles for becoming a divine human, even if we just, you talk about them one by one just briefly?
Well, we can gloss over a few.
Okay.
Because you know me, I'm pretty long-winded.
No, but I'm enjoying every single word here.
Well, first of all, the 12 principles, I think it was a good way to conclude the piece, because you do need something to cut out on the page and put up on your bathroom mirror every day, because who can keep all this stuff in their head at any one time? I mean, I can't, and I wrote the book, right? So the 12 principles, I think, all truth, you know, all truth is developed through individual insight. And so the principles really are just kind of little general ways to apply these teachings that I talk about in the book. And the first one, I think, is important, and that is to understand yourself first and your relationship to the divine. You have to understand and recognize what your relationship is to the divine presence. I mean, what is it in your life? What does it mean? You know, who are you? And further, when we're on any spiritual journey, the journey always begins where you are, not where you want to be. The journey begins where you are, not where you want to be. That is such a wonderfully soft and forgiving message for me. And actually, Amma said this when I was in India. We have to understand that we can't be anywhere else but where we are right now. We can't sit around and wish that the past had been different and then sit there and agonize over every little mistake we made. That's especially true with conflicting relationships and when we blow it. Oh, my God. You want to sit there and punish yourself every single minute.
Oh, yeah.
But we're supposed to begin our journey where we are. And we can't look in the future too far, because what's the point of that? You know, you're not being fully present again. So just consider life as it is and accept it, and do your very best to see reality clearly. And as long as you're putting your spiritual development at the top of your list, you're going to be fine. You're just going to be fine.
Oh, that is good to know. I do like that. And this is going up on my refrigerator. All right, revere the divine, live with awareness of your inner God.
Yeah. We have to put the Creator where he or she belongs, which is inside of us. You know, it's here. We are all, as I said earlier, individualized sparks of divine creation. And we have to honor that at a very deep level and recognize that that spirit is within. And, you know, it's a beatific gift. And the more that we affirm that and recognize it, like a prayer that we say over and over again, we're going to be able to be living life more as spirit lives it, not as the human being does. But of course, we have to flip-flop, right? Because we're in a body. We can't just sit around and
be in la-la land
all day long. That would be no point. Otherwise, we should just check out and move to the other side tomorrow. I had a day like that yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've had those thoughts. It's time to check out, move on.
You know, the other thing, one of the principles I like is to just learn to be authentic and to be at ease with yourself, to really get to know yourself and accept all those things about yourself. You know, I'll tell you, especially when I'm so hyped on relationships tonight, I just have to keep talking about it because that's been my conflict the last week, is we need to just be more forgiving of the parts of ourselves that we probably won't be able to change. I mean, we do come in with an agenda, a program. We come in with karmic relationships, you know. We are meant to see these things about ourselves as they are reflected back to us. That's actually my theory about difficult relationships. They are absolutely in your life for a reason. They are there to show and teach you something, and you had better take a close look. But, you know, when we do and we work with it and we look at all those parts of ourselves, we should compliment and love ourselves for all of our good qualities and stop beating ourselves up so much. That's a big piece about being authentic.
That's a good one.
You know, because if we can't be authentic, we will never, ever, ever learn to love ourselves. And we have to learn to love ourselves. I mean, this is part of our spiritual agenda here.
This kicked into my mind. Learn to love yourself and know that God said, this too shall pass. It's not going to always stay this way.
That's right. You don't want to manage your suffering.
That's exactly right.
I spent a whole chapter on that in the book.
Well, it's good.
Let's see. We probably have time for a couple more.
Yeah, we do.
Well, here's another pet peeve of mine, since I'm on pet peeves tonight, is this whole business about auspicious language. And the Dasas in India are really, really big on this one. They are always conscious of using supportive and soft language. And they say that it's a very big deal when you allow your thoughts and words to turn into negative stories. And I'll tell you, it's really, I don't know if you're as sensitive at really bad and violent movies as I am. I can't sit and listen or watch this.
Oh, I have to walk out of the room.
These movies where they're using the F word and they're swearing all the time and putting each other down, or even these reality TV shows where we're recycling all this ridiculous, nonsensical junk and slamming people, that is the antithesis of auspicious language. You know, we need to cultivate a culture here of lovely language. And I'll tell you, I will give you one day, if you are consciously aware of using auspicious and positive language as much as you can, the whole day, take one day, you will see your energy attract so much better things in your life. Things will come back to you. What's that old thing about what your mom used to say? If you can't say something nice about somebody,
don't say anything at all.
Well,
you know that one.
Third grade, and now we're 50 years old or whatever, and we got to buy a spiritual book to hear the same message. So you take one day, take tomorrow, and just say, today is a day my whole goal in everything that I do is to be using beautiful and complimentary language, and it will just start to shift the energy in your own personal world. I guarantee it.
I think that is a very powerful tool, and I agree with you 100%.
And it's not easy to do either. It's work, actually.
It's a skill that you develop, just like this negative language is a bad habit we developed.
I can't even stand to be around it. I can't. That's why I just can't watch a lot of TV. I got to watch kid shows, you know, because...
Kids shows aren't that much better, Charlene, I'll tell you.
I don't know. I'm still probably on Finding Nemo or something. I thought that was pretty
Well, that's true.
Easy.
That's different. Yeah. No, but it is... Yeah, that is. I think that's a really important place to start for a shift to occur in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is to start with your language and what you say and how you say it, and whom you say it to.
And try to do your level best to project something positive to those who have hurt you. Oh man, right now this is a tough one for me. But you have to open your heart, and sometimes. When your heart is shattered, you know, it's more open. You know, just imagine a hammer hammering your heart like a piece mm-hmm. of glass ball and crushing that. And when there's no thing that is containing that heart energy, it radiates everywhere. And maybe, just perhaps, this is part of our process here on the planet. You know, it's part of our own personal and spiritual evolution, is to have our hearts broken every now and then so that we can learn to love. So that would be a big message for your people tonight.
Well, it's a big message anyway. I mean, to have your heart broken.
Yeah.
To learn to love.
Yeah, and it's a...
It's much easier to shut the heart down.
Well, we want to manage our suffering.
There you go.
We're going to go watch TV, eat and drink more, and play on the internet and order more stuff.
And that's, avoid the heart, right.
Yeah, because we don't want to be in it. So remember, we're moving through it. We are not stuck there permanently. If we were not designed to move through our pain and suffering and all of our heartache, the human race would have been extinct a million years ago. We are physically designed to move through our grievous circumstances. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do.
You know, it is amazing, and I've seen this in my own grieving and broken hearts over the years. One heart broken many times, people, just let's clarify that. But it is an amazing process, and it's almost like giving birth, where the body takes over, where the mind's going, oops, not the day, I don't have time to have this baby today. And even in the grief process, the body takes over, because those of us who are still able to, where we're not succumbing to our grief, still able to, there is the next day that we have to get up, that we have to do things, that we have to feed the children, that we have to get groceries, that we have to go to work. And so we're kind of, and we're forced into it, even though we're yelling and screaming and just saying, I want to stay home and cry.
Mm-hmm.
Life keeps moving on.
Yep, it moves on. They're supposed to move on. We're supposed to move with it. And like I said, a lot of people who are in this industry, oh, let's go with the flow, and we're flowing with life. And well, are they really practicing it? And you don't need to be some spiritual icon or some huge spiritual master to practice some of this basic stuff. I mean, learn to forgive yourself. Forgive others, open your heart, you know, let it be open. Because I'll tell you, I personally would rather be hurt and live with an open heart and experience everything everyone else does than to rise above it and block it and tell my own mind that, I'm too far above my own suffering. That's not really being fully present. Because I'll tell you, once you move through it, there's always, always something better that comes along. There's always grace that will move into your life and to help you heal and to help you grow.
And I think that was an important message that you said about stepping off the plateau and knowing that something better is going to come along.
Because it's so true with relationships. Until we really let go, how are we going to have room? That was one of the things I said earlier. Make room in your life for joy.
Yep.
You can't fill an empty vessel when it's already filled with something. you have to empty it out first. I mean, think about just a cup of water or a big silver. I always imagine this big fancy silver bowl. And we got to empty everything out if we're going to receive anything that's fresh and beautiful. And we have to remember to do that and to quit hanging on to whatever was in there before. It's harder said, you know, it's very hard to do. It's hard. If it were easy, everybody would do it. And think about how enlightened our whole planet would have been like 10,000 years ago.
Yeah, well, then I wouldn't be here. I would have been, okay, don't have to go down there anymore. They're doing okay down there. No. Yeah, well, it would have been nice if we were enlightened 10,000 years ago and skipped this all this human suffering and grief. But these are things and these are tools. I think we needed the masters, Charlene. Mm-hmm. We've needed women like yourself to start the Goddess Network. One of the things I wanted to mention in just a couple of minutes left is that you also help and empower homeless women and victims of domestic violence. And you talk about that in just a moment?
Well, we did some work a few seasons ago for a women's shelter, and these were women who were pretty uneducated formerly, who were single mothers, who were coming from domestic violence scenarios, maybe some drug addiction and so forth, and they were living in a transitional housing facility. But the cool thing about this place, Lighthouse Path, is that they actually teach them to be economically independent. They help them acquire skills, and they have a support system there for the children. So they have help while they're going back to school or learning or dealing with where their next steps are going to be in life. And so what I did was I met with these ladies for about 6 months. I ran a program and for the same group of women over and over once a week. We talked about some of the ideas in Let Your Goddess Grow, which was a book I wrote a couple books ago, and taught them about positive thinking and affirmations. And I got to tell you, these ladies were amazing students. Once they really got into the idea of their own power and where that I am presence resides and what that really means, they were just amazing. They felt so much better, and we actually had a little graduation for them, and they had to stand up and tell everybody what were the impacts of these ideas on their life and what they were going to do to move forward. And they were so empowered. And I'm telling you, if these ladies can do it, people who have had nothing, no money, no home, no income, and pull themselves up to say, I am going to succeed because I desire it and I have my mind and my heart in the right place. If they can do it, then anybody can.
And it's just giving the right message to people.
Yes.
Instead
yes.
of them thinking they're worthless, they're valueless, and you go in and you say, you have worth, you have value, you are part of the divine oneness.
Yep, yep. And it was a very beautiful project. It was lovely to see them all grow, and I've kept in touch with a couple of them.
Charlene Proctor, that is a wonderful story to end on. We're out of time. I know you need to get busy to get to Phoenix tomorrow.
I do.
Blessings to you. Thank you for your time once again.
Thanks for having me tonight.
All right.
Alrighty.
And that's Charlene Proctor of charleneproctor.com, and her book, The Oneness Gospel, can be found at theonenessgospel.com. Coming up next week on Holy Hormones, Honey, Tuaca Kelly out of the Netherlands will be speaking with us. And she is a healer, medical, intuitive, spiritual consultant as well, and she will be joining me here on Holy Hormones, Honey. Between last night's eclipse and the upcoming lunar eclipse on June 4th, we're just going to be carrying the spiritual level right here on Holy Hormones, Honey. Have a great week, everyone. I'll look forward to being back with you next week. Good night and blessings. Silver pool.